If you've ever been to places like Yellowstone or Yosemite, see some pretty impressive rivers, don't you? I remember seeing the lower Yellowstone Falls. Water comes off of there, it's just majestic.
Amen.
But once it hits, it just runs smooth and fresh down through that river. When I think of what happens when we learn not to worry, it's like that. And the only way you can stop worrying is to learn to trust Him.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet
Revelation chapter 4. Everybody turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 and 5 are the source of the Revelation song, and it is neat to realize when you just stepped out of Revelation 2 and 3, which is the seven churches on earth where God's working, and then all of a sudden Revelation chapter 4, the heavens open and we go up and we're into the throne room of God. We get to gaze at the Almighty sitting on the throne, and we're in the vestibule there, looking out over the throne room. And here John tries to pen what Paul says is indescribable, inexpressible. We listen to the choir, the angel choir sing, and then the creatures chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." And, you know, we owe our all to Him, and we're there in His presence. Chapter 4 is mainly for the Father God. and the Creator. And chapter 5 is for Jesus and the Redeemer. And it's pretty neat to realize and the deity of God the Father and Jesus there. The breathtaking of the thunder and lightning and the rainbow. Now, heaven's going to be something else, folks. And to catch that and to realize that we're there and we see it and we're, our eyes are open and our hearts are just full of just all kinds of adoration and just, God, you're wonderful. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, what with me? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come, is eternal. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and then the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship, adore him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns upon the throne. The casting of crowns was a similarity of when an army got defeated, the king would come in full surrender and take his crown off and lay it and give it to the winning crown, the winning king. We're just saying, I'm not king, I'm not in control, you're in control, you're the king. We cast our crowns down. We're not in, you're in charge. And it says, verse 11, for thou art worthy, we're going to talk about that this morning, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Chapter 4 is the Creator, the Father God. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. That's why we're here. To give him pleasure. And then it's his holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come, clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. That is majesty and power. And try to picture it. Jesus, your name is power, breath, our very breath, and living water, what Jim and Anita sang about. You are my everything, and I will adore you. To think about adoring God is what I want you to think with me this morning, because that's what it's all about, to realize. Do you know you have to know him before you can adore him? You have to experience him before you adore him. If we were down in Texas this morning, and our house was flooded, and we would have people coming and helping us, and we would have organizations helping us, and our insurance helping us, and all kinds of things going on, would we praise God more than we're sitting here right now? You experience his presence, his help, his helping through people, and you understand his mercy and his grace, and he hears your cry and he hears your prayer, and you say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't ever get over that. You lose it many times a day. Is that true? Maybe every 10, 15 minutes. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to adore God for 15 minutes. And then we got to get it back. The key is getting it back often. Hourly, every 10 minutes. Is that right? You've got to realize you're driving and you see the heavens spray open with the sun, the beams down. You go, oh, there he is. And you're driving along and you see a butterfly or you see whatever. There he is. Then you have a prayer answered at 2:00. And then you see a word, a verse pops in your mind at 4:00. There he is. And you're just adoring him and you realize, he saved my sinful soul. I adore him. Thank you. With tears flowing down your face. And it is amazing to catch that. Revelation chapter 5. Everybody turn there. Revelation chapter 5. And Elliot's going to come and read for us. Revelation chapter 5. This is about Jesus the Redeemer and adoring him.
chapter 5 and verses 1 through 14. And if you can, would you please stand with me? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us into our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Thank you. You may be seated.
Can you picture heaven this morning? Can you realize what is coming on and what is going on, and you realize, wow, heaven must be wonderful, and we realize all that God has for us, and it is just a thrill to be a part of His beauty and His holiness, and to gaze into His presence and to realize that's what I want to be. I want to experience Him walking and talking with me. Revelation chapter 5, we're in heaven. The song goes on through here. I'm going to read the song here. It's going to be up in front of you here. This is the part we're going through this morning. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." This stanza is all about Jesus. The other was about the Creator, God, and we worship Him, we adore Him. Now it's Jesus, the Redeemer. We have a new song because we have a Lamb. We have a Lamb. It's a new song. It's not an old song. It's a new song. Then to him that sits on the heaven's mercy seat, the throne, blessing and honor and strength and glory and power be unto the only one who's King. I love that line. And then it says, "With all creation I sing," we all sing, "to the King of Kings, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder." That's moved me. At the very mention of his name, it's just overwhelming. "You are worthy. You are my everything. I will adore you. I will adore you." Revelation chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand." Everybody be looking at it. This is great stuff. It took me a while to catch all what's going on. If you're not careful, you'll read over it and miss it. "And I saw in his right hand," in the Father on the throne, in his right hand. Put up the next picture. This is the best picture we have of what we're talking about here. God is in the midst here. He's got a book here in his hand. You can hardly see it. The glow of God, you can't see it. You have the seven spirits of God here. You have the four beasts here, strong angels. And then you have the 24 elders here, possibly representing the Old Testament, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, and then you have all the heavenly host. We're here. Is that cool? We're going to be there. And the majesty is something else. And it says, and I saw in his right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Those are the seven seals that begins the tribulation. Okay? Now, we're in heaven right now. We were on earth in chapters 2 and 3. We're in heaven in 4 and 5. And then we come back to earth in 6 and on and have the tribulation period. And then verse 2. And I saw a strong angel. Now, this angel was strong, but it wasn't strong enough to open the seals. Possibly, I've been studying what the beasts are. Some say the beasts are just very strong personal angels, a little higher than the regular angels, and maybe one of them. And I saw a strong angel. Oh, I'm sure he could take the book. And angel proclaimed with a loud voice, "Who is worthy?" That should get you. We're going to keep reading. "To open the book and to loose the seals thereof, to start the tribulation, to bring in the kingdom, to bring in heaven, to get it all going, the end going, so that we can get to heaven." Who's able? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. I studied that too. Possibly the past people that have died believing in Jesus. Nobody was there in heaven that could do it. Nobody was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Nobody was worthy. Verse 4 really got me. And I went, verse 4, and I went and I wept much. When's the last time you wept because something on this earth perturbed you? Here, John is whisk up to heaven, and he's seeing all of this majesty and the throne of chapter 4 and all that's going on, and the beast and the 24 elders praising God and all of the worship. And then the God Almighty takes a book, and nobody could take the book. He was trying to give the book away, and nobody could take the book. Nobody could look upon it. And John began to weep. It's not going to happen. It's going to fall apart. We're not going to have heaven. We're not going to get the tribulation gone and get the second coming coming and get the millennium coming and get heaven coming. We're in trouble. Is America in trouble? When's the last time you wept? God help us. It just thrilled me to see our president sign that paper with all the evangelicals around him. We haven't seen that for a long time. Long time. And America, it's good to see people helping people. And Texas, a wonderful place. And people helping people. There's a lot of Baptist churches in Texas. A lot of Southern Baptist churches in Texas. And praise God for all of them. A lot of witness. The Bible Belt and all of that. Praise God that you're going to see a lot of praying and a lot of helping and a lot of Jesus stuff going on. And I praise God for the Samaritan's Purse and all these groups that's helping. And that is so important that we weep. He wept. God, where are you? And nobody's able to open the book. And it's not going to happen. And he wept. John wept and wept. We need some heavy crying and heavy praying, don't we? When you do that, you're going to experience God come through in your life, and you'll learn to adore Him. I'm convinced if we don't do weeping, we'll never learn to adore Him. You're with me? Sometimes we don't weep, we don't care enough, we don't let it emotionally touch us because you don't catch us. He was weeping. Do you understand why he would fall at the end? John worships God. At the end, he falls down, he realizes, we have somebody that's going to do it. That's the joy of here. He was weeping. Verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. I love verse 5. And one of the elders, one of the 24 elders said, John, we have a Savior. And verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, to John, weep not, behold the Lion, the warrior, the winner of the battle of the tribe of Judah. of the root of David. He was the tribe of Judah, and that was his tribe, the warrior tribe, Judah, and he was the root of David, the king. Is that right? We have a person that's capable. He's of Judah, and he's of David. He's of the right descent. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals, to begin the tribulation period so that we could roll into the kingdom and the second coming and heaven. We have a person. And he was so thrilled. Verse 6, and I beheld, John's talking, John's in heaven looking, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts. Okay, we do not have a picture of that because God and Jesus are what?
One.
Okay? I like that picture. You don't see the Lamb yet because God and Jesus are one. Okay? And it says, we are there in the midst. And he says, and the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a Lamb. Put the Lamb up. Stood a Lamb. And it, as it was slain, it's dead. It's been killed. Having seven horns. See the seven horns? Catch them there. The seven horns here and seven eyes. And he's holding the book here. The Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. And he said, we found one. The seven horns. I couldn't get many people to agree on anything except that the horns are something of victory, of war, of power. Okay? And the eyes are all-knowing, all-seeing. It just says, he's all-powerful. Powerful and almighty, he's God. That's all it says. And he sees all, knows all, and wins all. He's God. And it says, which are the seven spirits of God? And I've been trying to gather that one. And this just, seven is the perfect number. He's all powerful. He's got seven horns. He's got seven eyes. He's all seeing. And he's got seven spirits. He's totally of God, of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's sent forth to the earth. He's going to send forth all of the seven seals and all the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. And he's got power to make all of that happen. He's the warrior. He sees all, knows all. He's all powerful as God. And he's going to make all the tribulation happen, the second coming, the millennium, heaven. He's God. And it's just to overwhelm you. And it is amazing there. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, God. And when he had taken the book, Here's the first group of worshipers, adorers. The four beasts and the 24 elders fell down. This is adoration. Before the Lamb, they're worshiping the Lamb. Chapter 4, they were worshiping God Almighty, the Creator. Now they're worshiping Jesus, the Redeemer. Having every one of them harps. We should start playing harps now. How many of you can play harps? We're in trouble. Okay, one. Okay. We're in heaven. They're all playing harps, okay? And it says, and golden vials, vases full of odors, beautiful odors, which are what? Do you know every prayer you pray, God keeps? How big of a vase does God have of your prayers? Do you adore Him? Then you would talk to Him more. I hope you just talk to Him about everything. Does He want you to praise Him or pray? We should be in one or two or the one, you know, prayer or praise. You know, thank God for the sun shining. Oh, Lord, help the victims down in Texas. Is that right? As you're watching the news, should you just be praying? It should just be a prayer. Prayer should just be something that you're doing at the grocery store, going in to get gas, going to pay bills, going to your neighbors, you're looking at your neighbors when you're driving by. Should you see something, you should just be praying all the time. Every prayer you pray, God keeps it and rejoices over it. And is at work answering it. And so we need to pray. We need to take prayer. We should be praying all the time. That's what God, He's a prayer keeper. Some people are a keeper of little figurines in their houses and stuff like that. God's a prayer keeper. Every prayer you pray. So you better be praying. Kids, you need to be praying. Teenagers, you need to be praying. Every time you pray, God hears it and records it and keeps it and rejoices over it and loves talking to His kids. Amen? Verse 9. They prayed and then they sang this song, this new song. They had never sung this song before. It's to the Lamb. It's to the Redeemer. And it's a blessed song. They've been blessed. They've seen the Almighty. They've seen the Lamb take the book, open the book, ready to use to let the seals go to start the tribulation period. And they realize, we have a Redeemer. We have a Savior. And they sang a new song to the Savior, thou art worthy. Now this is the 4 and the 20 elders and the 4 beasts singing this song. They're in heaven, and thou, Jesus, are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. You died on Calvary and hast redeemed us, saved us, paid our sin penalty, forgave us to God by thy blood. Out of every kin, you saved every people out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's a Savior. That's something to adore Him. These 4 beasts and these 4 and 20 elders just looked up and saw the Redeemer coming out of the midst of the throne. And all of a sudden, they had a new song to sing. And they just let it go. And they just adored Him. And wow! Verse 10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels. Okay, we have the 4 beasts singing and the 4 and 20 elders. Now we have all of these starting to sing, all the other heavenly hosts and the angels. Verse 11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast. They're going to sing again. And the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. You know how many zeros that is? Wow! Isn't heaven going to be something? Heaven's going to be something. You see these football games, all the Notre Dame fans. Okay, that's enough. And you know, you see all of these people. I only go to about 2 games a year. Tim drags me, but it is. I just get overwhelmed by the people there, by the band. It is. It reminds me of something like heaven. It really does. And you realize this is magnificent to see all these people moving towards one direction in heaven. You know, the stadium over here, what's hold about 80,000 something? You know, you're sitting there going, wow, I'm just one little person sitting there. And you're, wow. And you're sitting there going, my goodness. Heaven's going to be something like thousands and thousands and thousands. And Jesus is in the middle and all of the heavenly hosts there, and they're singing and praising because we have a Redeemer. We have a Savior. We have one that forgives our sins. He died, took our hell. We can go to heaven. And it says, and behold, I heard, verse 11, a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, that's the new song, that was slain to receive power and riches, just unlimited wisdom and wealth and strength and honor and glory. They adored Him, adored Him. He saved us. He's opened the books. He's redeemed us. He's slain. He wins. We win. And verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven, every creature. Is that good? Okay, we started out with the beast, and then we start out with all the angels. The ants are getting bigger. Now it's every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, possibly glorified saints, I don't know, and such as are in the sea, all the fishers. Okay. Y'all slow. And all that are in them, catch this. I thought they were singing, but who's singing here? Heard, who's singing here? John singing. John is singing. Heard I, it's John, saying. You know, John is witnessing all of this. He's been caught up into the heavens, sees the throne, sees the lightning and the thundering and the majesty and all that's going on and all the praise and the glory and admonition and adoring of the throne, the Father. And chapter 5, it's the Lamb. He all of a sudden he gets sad because nobody can fulfill the revelation. And then he sees a Lamb and he's told he's the Redeemer, he's the Savior, he's Jesus. And then he's all happy and he hears all of heaven singing, the four beasts, the 24 elders, and now all the angels singing. And thirdly, he jumps up and sings himself. He adores. You need to get there every day. 20 or 30 times a day, get to verse 13. Roll yourself through it and realize he's the Redeemer. No, he's my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. And it says, I say, verse 13, everybody heard it. The whole world heard it. All creatures heard it. Heard John saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's adoring. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Jesus, the Lamb, that liveth forever and ever. What do you adore? Who do you adore? I was just thinking about, I have a wedding today at 2 o'clock, so I've been thinking about marriage. And I remember the day I first saw Ron Lee. I just adored her. Thought she was the most beautiful person in the world. And she came from a stable family. Do stable families help people? Be a stable family. I'm married a couple days, had some stable families, and that helps them immensely. And strong families. Not, note I didn't say perfect families, huh? And that's just some stability. And then, you know, her desire to do things well, her excellence, her energy, her enthusiasm, her insights, her foresight. You know, she's smart. As she was committed. She worked with the junior high. I worked with the senior high. And we worked well together. And she was burdened for the young people. She wanted to see them grow in Jesus. She was studying the Bible. More practical, she does my laundry. Is that a big deal? It amazes me how my socks get in the drawer all the time. I open it up and they're there, and I use them all, and I open it up again, and what? They're there again. And, you know, she cooks. She made great 2 pies this week. She said she bought them from Martin's and just warmed them up, but I thought she did it, so I'm giving her credit. She's disciplined. She's on time. I can trust her. I can depend on her. She's a Bible student. She trained and disciplined our children. It wasn't me. It was her. And I would say, let's talk to them. You know, they're 3. Let's talk to them. She said, no, let's spank their bottom. I go, oh, I like to talk to them. Spanking was better. And we have 3 wonderful children that can stand on their own 2 feet and do their family and walk with God and serve God, huh? And they've given me 6 beautiful grandchildren. And without that, without my dear wife, that's why I adore her. Does that make sense? I adore her because I wouldn't have anything today that I adore without her. And I have to say thank you. Put up the next picture. I don't like to see a lamb looking at me when I'm talking about my wife. She said, that was bad. Okay, we don't get to get going. No one get me going. No, don't get her going. Okay. What do you adore? Do you adore? Now, do I have to work at adoring my wife at times? Yes. You know, so I do stupid things and she doesn't get too excited about my stupidness, okay? I have to adore, I have to work at adoring her. We got to remember that we have a Savior. John was around all of this stuff, seeing heaven and seeing God and seeing the beast and seeing the 24 elders and all the praising there. And then they brought out the book, and the book, somebody had to open it, and there was nobody to open it, and he wept. And if he hadn't wept and looked for it strongly, he wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. And sometimes we wonder, why does God allow bad stuff to happen to us? So you will get on your knees and pray to the Almighty and experience His power come on you, and then you will adore Him. And if you don't get to that place of adoring Him, you'll start taking Him for granted. Is that right? And we do it all the time. And I've realized I can't stay there. So I need to be begging heaven for stuff. I need to be really praying for big stuff. Just not, Lord, bless the food, bless the weather, give us a good time, amen. Prayer's got to be more than that. To see the Almighty, to see miracles, to see people change. I've been asking God to change some families and some lives. I need some miracles. Without you doing something, God, we're in trouble. And to ask, and then John prayed, and then John seen all of the adoration and the prayers answered, and then he himself said, glory and honor and power being unto the one, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our Savior. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped. The beast said, amen, and forever and ever. To adore Him. I've written some things down here. To adore Him. Let me read this. This is a quote from William Temple's. A quote about worship and adoring God. Listen, I'm going to read it twice. What is worship and adoring God? It says, to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open up the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. Now think, we'll do it again. This is worship, this is definition. To quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. To feed the mind with the truth of God. To purge the imagination by the beauty of God. To open up the heart to the love of God. To devote the will to the purpose of God. That's worship. That's adoring. Until you know His holiness and His character and His beauty and His saving power and His answering of prayers and His speaking to you out of the Word of God and Him walking and talking and encouraging you and lifting you, you won't adore Him. You've got to experience that. You've got to know who He is. You've got to know who you're talking to, who you're listening to. John, know who you're standing in front of, the Almighty. And then know that the Lamb saved your soul. Know who you're talking to, the God Almighty. And that just puts you down. And you realize that then you experience Him lift you up. And you realize, you're great. You're awesome. You're awestruck wonder. I love that part. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at just the very mention of His name. If you mention the name of Ron Lee to me, that just brings joy to my heart. Just this, the very mention of his name, the wonder that man, God, you're awesome. You got to know him and experience him. When you adore him, you are listening for him. You are longing for him. You are anticipating him. You are looking for him. You are thinking about him. You are excited to be with him. You want to spend time with him. You want to stay awake for him. You want to talk to him. You want to focus on him. You want to submit to him. You want to enjoy him. You want to be planned to be with him. You anticipate his coming. You do not rush it. It needs to take time. Is that right? You need to realize to slow down and listen to God. Is that one of the biggest problems of our culture? We don't slow down enough to talk to God. Be still and know that I'm God. And so that we can be, we got a thirst for him and hunger for him and want it fresh today and new every day to depend on him. He's God. You have to know him and experience him before you can adore him. And then when you find yourself all busied up in life, you're not thinking about him. You got to get back to who he is and what he's done. And then you experience and then you adore him again. And then you get all busy again and you forget it and you got to get it back. Is that right? I want you to work this week at adoring God, Jesus, the Creator, the Redeemer. Chapter 4 of Revelation, he's the Creator. Chapter 5, he's the Redeemer. And he's not only the Redeemer, he's mine. Right now. And he just forgave my big mouth. He just forgave my pride. He just forgave my being in a time of talking or thinking wrong thoughts or lust. He's God. Thank you. I adore you. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today? Preacher, I needed this message on adoring God. I need to know that I don't do it enough. I don't stay focused enough. I get sidetracked. I get distracted by so many things. And I need to work hard at remembering who he is and seeing him in his holiness and his forgiving power and his teaching power and his speaking power and his rejoicing power and his encouraging power. And remember and then experiencing it and then adore him, love him, and just be crazy about him and realize he's the Almighty. He's mine. Thank you. Thank you. I needed this message. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Let it speak. Let it speak. Let it speak. Wow. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, preacher, I don't know him like that. I don't understand that, how that you could just adore him, because I don't know him that well. Because to know him is life. And then to remind yourself of it often is living. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed, balcony, side wings, main floor. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Amen. Amen. Very important. Any others? Any others? Let the Lord touch your soul. If you need to talk to somebody about this, I'd be happy to get man with man, woman with woman. If you're very sincere that you want to talk to somebody, look at me right now or keep your head down. I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus, make every one of us realize how little we really adore you. And we get distracted and we get our minds on other earthly stuff. Lord, help us to get our minds on you and to rehash all that you've done for us and to experience the speaking through the word and praying and enjoying. Lord, help us this week to experience adoring you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.